This is an offering by Ruchira Devidasi from Alachua, Florida, USA, the meaning of the Vyasa Puja. Vyasa Puja is an offering of our gratitude to Srila Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of the Lord, and the whole disciplic succession, from Lord Krishna to Brahma to Narada to Vyas, and right down to the present day. The procedure of offering gratitude to Srila Vyasadeva is to honor his foremost representative, the spiritual master, on his appearance day. Thus, in today's International Society for Krishna Consciousness, with many initiating spiritual masters, Vyasa Puja is observed by their disciples on many days throughout the year. But the one Vyasa Puja that all ISKCON members observe is the appearance anniversary of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON, and the main instructing spiritual master for all ISKCON members now and forevermore. When Srila Vyasadeva received knowledge from his spiritual master, Narada Muni, he decided to organize it into the four Vedas. Vyasadeva could see that in the future, with the arrival of Kali Yuga, most of society would be unable to remember the Vedic mantras just from hearing them. So he had them written down, divided into four, and entrusted to his leading disciples. Then he wrote the Puranas, minus the Srimad Bhagavatam, to explain the Vedas and the Mahabharata for the less intelligent masses. Then he wrote Vedanta Sutra, a summary of all Vedic literature. Although Vyas thus engaged himself in welfare work for all people, he still felt dissatisfied. In the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.30, Srila Prabhupada states, Srila Vyasadeva appeared to have lost the clue and therefore felt dissatisfaction. At this critical time, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, came to him and explained the cause of Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction. You have hardly broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described to such an extent the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. And then the next two verses, Nayad Bachas Chitra Padang Harer Yasho Jagat Pavitram Prabhrinita Karichit Tad Vayasam Tirtam Ushanti Manasa Nayatra Hamsa Niraman Kishikshaya. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, which alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Tadva visargo janatagda viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abhadavatyapi namanyanantasya yashom kitaniyad Srinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadhva. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms and pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. After thus being advised by Narada, Sri Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripening fruit of all Vedic literature, for the welfare of the whole human society. This knowledge has been carefully passed down through the chain of disciplic succession to the present day, and I believe that all of us who have seriously heard, studied it, and worshipped the Bhagavatam have experienced a revolution in our impious lives. Therefore, we set aside this wonderful day for worshipping Srila Vyasadeva and our Parampara by worshipping Vyasa's most glorious modern representatives, Srila Prabhupada. On the order of a spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada brought the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of the six Goswamis, and the Lord's holy name to the whole world. His mission was to save the fallen souls in the Western countries and throughout the world by spreading this knowledge. What an inconceivably priceless gift. How can we ever begin to repay him for opening our tightly closed eyes? Vyasa Puja is not just an offering of flowers and praise to Srila Prabhupada, but an offering of our very lives. Sri Prahlad Maharaj captured the mood of a true disciple in this prayer to Lord Nrsimhadeva. Evam janam nirpatitam prabhavahi kupe kamapi kamam anuya prapatam prasangat kripatmasat surasina bhagavan grihita soham katam nu israjetava vritya sevam. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How can I ever leave his service? In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, while teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55 that only by devotional service can I be understood in truth. Srila Prabhupada afforded this supreme opportunity to all people of the world, making karma, guru, self-realization, kirtan, etc., household words. So many people have become interested in yoga, kirtan, vegetarian diet, reading Bhagavad Gita due to Srila Prabhupada's efforts. Who can have foreseen this revolution in consciousness? Srila Prabhupada did. In 1965, when he was still alone in New York City, he met Mr. Rubin, a subway conductor, sitting on a park bench. They struck up a conversation, and Srila Prabhupada explained, quote, there are temples and books, they are there, but the time is separating us from them, end quote. He had an absolute conviction that he would succeed because he was faithfully representing his Guru Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the whole Parampara. In 1966, just a few followers and a handful of disciples, he decided to incorporate the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON International? He had only one center in New York, yet Srila Prabhupada's conviction was unshakable. He could see temples and disciples all over the world, only in the Articles of Incorporation. Srila Prabhupada wrote 7 purposes of ISKCON. 1. To systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large, and to educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he saw that the people had lacked any understanding of genuine spiritual knowledge. What to speak of the tools and techniques for realizing that knowledge? Srila Prabhupada made it his mission to provide both, just as Srila Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata to train and educate the less intelligent class in spiritual understanding. 2, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. 3, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, and thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. This education is in keeping with the mission of our parampara, Srila Vyasadeva, on the order of his spiritual master, Narada Muni, spent his life making the Vedic literature available in Sanskrit. And Srila Prabhupada, in the order of his spiritual master, made the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other essential Vedic literatures available in English and many other languages. 4, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the holy names of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to break open the storehouse of love of God in this dark age of Kali. And he predicted that in every town and village of the world, his names would be chanted. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya's Senapati Bhakta, the commander-in-chief of his army of devotees, fulfilled Lord Chaitanya's prediction in a mere 11 years of worldwide preaching after founding ISKCON in July of 1966. 5, to erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. 6, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. And 7, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. This is Srila Prabhupada's unique vision of how to organize an institution whose mission is to impart transcendental knowledge and thus create a cultural revolution for the benefit of society. This mission is the very essence of our parampara. Without changing the transcendental message, each acharya adapts it for the time, the place, and the audience that will receive it. We understand that Srila Prabhupada is a bona fide representative of Vyasadeva, because Prabhupada embodies the teachings of Vyasadeva and explains Srimad Bhagavatam in a way that others can understand it, so that everyone can take advantage of this knowledge and go back to Godhead. I have personally experienced, along with thousands of others, how my life has been transformed and saved by following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, chanting 16 rounds a day, adhering to the 4 regulative principles, and regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the nectar of devotion, and so on. Not only have we been given this amazing philosophy, but we've been given a whole way of life, a cultural revolution. Vyasa Puja Day is my favorite day of the year. It is so wonderful. Every morning throughout the year, we offer our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, bowing down, offering prayers, and thanking His Divine Grace for saving us. But on Vyasa Puja Day, we are given the opportunity to dive deeper into understanding what we are grateful for and to express our gratitude more fully. To hear others share their realizations and express their gratitude to Srila Prabhupada never fails to open my eyes to even more reasons why I should feel indebted. Just as kirtan is more relishable when lots of devotees raise their voices and sincerely chant together, calling out the Lord's holy names, so Vyasa Puja Day is the most relishable and blessed day of the year because we spend it with many devotees glorifying Srila Prabhupada and revealing our deepest feelings towards Him. We all come together to glorify the pure devotee who brought Srila Vyasadeva's message to the West and planted the Bhakti Lata Beach in our hearts. We should all take advantage of this Vyasa Puja Day to rededicate ourselves to Srila Prabhupada and His great mission with our life and soul. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ruchira Devi Dasi Alachua, Florida. Beautiful message, very clear that we should all together express our feelings of appreciation and glorification to Srila Prabhupada. So we'll start the offerings. I ask His Grace Toshan Krishna Prabhu to begin.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prashtyatya De Satarine Om Agyanati Marandasya Kyananjana Salakaya Chaksul Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhayebhacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. It was very nice to hear the offering by Mother Ruchira. I lived in Alachua for quite a while, and I used to get milk from her. She runs a farm with many cows. She's very devoted, obviously, and we were able to. She produces with many cows many gallons of milk every day. The lecture we heard from Srila Prabhupada, as always, points again and again to the message he gave. The very first time I met Srila Prabhupada, that is to say, listened to his lecture personally, he mentioned that his qualification was that he was delivering the message unadulterated, not changed. He says, my only qualification is I have not pilfered with the mail. He was considering himself to be nothing but a mailman, just like a mailman who delivers. So Srila Prabhupada did many wonderful things. He said that intelligence is the ingredient for spreading Krishna consciousness combined with the devotion to follow the spiritual master's instruction. Intelligence is applied desire. Supersoul provides the intelligence if the desire is there. But he didn't change the message. This is no small thing. In the 19th century, so many philosophers around the world were giving up religion, and proudly so. They thought they were very sophisticated. That includes India. They were giving up devotion to God, and they were replacing it with impersonal philosophy, speculation. And they were giving up all the parampara that was described by Srila Prabhupada today in his lecture and by Mother Ruchira. They gave it up in the name of sophistication. People were no longer inclined. In fact, they were embarrassed by their own false ego to be able to approach God as the supreme person to whom we must surrender. Bhakti, Prabhupada says, means bhakti unto Krishna. And who is Krishna? He is Devaki Nandana. He is a person. He has pastimes. He has a place. He has associates. He has lovers. Srila Prabhupada was not afraid to give this message of the parampara. In an age where such ideas were scoffed at, there is a misunderstanding sometimes that Srila Prabhupada arrived in the United States when there was a cultural revolution going on in which there were many hippies, and Srila Prabhupada just became the king of the hippies. He became the leader of the hippies. This is bogus. The actual story is that the United States and the rest of the world and India were all going to hell. And because sense gratification was the goal in every shape and form. And mental speculation was the guiding light. Whoever was able to give a better argument, a speculative argument, and he was heralded as a great philosopher and a great leader. In the age of Kali, this is demoniac activity, but no one was able to counteract this. Srila Prabhupada was not afraid to take shelter of the lotus feet of the parampara, and therefore he unwaveringly delivered the message. The message may be delivered in different ways. Today we have so many ways of delivering messages. Previously there was a mailman. Yeah. He gave a letter, a package. Now we have email, we have, Facebook, this and that, you know, Skype and all this. There are so many ways to deliver the message. Srila Prabhupada was not afraid to find the different ways and means to deliver the message in all the different languages of the world. And he was not afraid to engage devotees of different backgrounds who previously were considered unqualified. He was not afraid. But he would never change the message. Which is there in Bhagavad Gita. Which is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. That Krishna is a person to whom we have a relationship as persons. We are persons, God is a person, and we have a relationship in loving moods with that person. This was considered an anachronism, an old-fashioned idea, by the time Srila Prabhupada began his preaching work. But he was not afraid. In the more fashionable neighborhoods of New York City, so-called yogis were preaching, and they were getting followers. But there was no mention of Krishna. There was no mention of bhakti. And if there was mention of Bhagavad Gita, it was all contorted and mixed up. I'll give two simple examples of how Srila Prabhupada, we could go actually all day, because Srila Prabhupada, that is his message, not to change. He is simply coming here to deliver the nectar that was provided by the parampara. Vyasadeva, Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis. That's his message. But there are examples. As a disciple, I tried to flatter Srila Prabhupada that he was very creative, that he was very imaginative, that he was very expert. I wanted to flatter him. So I referred to a poster, advertising poster, that we had created that was based on the original Bhagavatam cover that Srila Prabhupada had designed and brought to the United States when he arrived. You may have seen the old Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is on the cover, there's Goloka Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna there, and the Vaikuntha planets. And so I was praising Srila Prabhupada because we used that same cover design, but we had upgraded it graphically. And Muralidhar Prabhu, the artist from BBT, had done such an excellent job. And so I was praising Prabhupada. This was your idea, Srila Prabhupada, showing him the poster. This was your idea. And Prabhupada frowned. He said, "What my idea? This is all in Shastra." That is Srila Prabhupada's message. What my idea? It is all in Shastra. So that's what we should always ask ourselves when we want to do something. Does the parampara agree? Is that in Shastra? Does it come from the parampara, sadhu shastra, guru? Another example, and then I'll move on so others can speak. Right? Huh? What? Carry on. Right here in Vrindavan Dham, in Srila Prabhupada's quarters in 1977, Srila Prabhupada had come and he announced to us that he would be leaving this world. There was a grave atmosphere here. But one devotee had painted Krishna and Balaram. This is the Krishna Balaram temple. He had painted Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna putting his elbow, you know, the arm on Balaram, and they're standing there in the forest. It's very beautiful. This devotee brought it to Srila Prabhupada, BBT artist, and showed it to him. So this was a nice opportunity for Srila Prabhupada to encourage his disciple. "Oh, thank you very much. Very nice." This is the typical social etiquette, is it not? Someone brings you something, "Oh, you nice, nice work. Thank you, thank you." He looked at it and he said, "Hmm." Srila Prabhupada looked at the painting and said, "What is the pastime? What are you depicting? What is the leela?" The artist shrugged. "Oh, I don't know, Srila Prabhupada. It's Krishna and Balaram in the forest." Prabhupada said, "Speculation." Prabhupada said here in Vrindavan, we should understand why. he said near the end, he said, I had japa mala in one hand and pickaxe in the other. He had to clear away all the nonsense. We heard in the lecture today, just depend on the parampara. It's easy for the simple and very difficult for the complicated. Those who have a very complicated mind, they have a great deal of difficulty following the parampara. They always have to come up with a new idea. So our business, and the potency therefore comes. The potency of preaching comes with that simplicity. In the beginning days, if you saw the Sankirtan parties, it is mentioned in the purposes of ISKCON that there should be the spreading of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. That meant chanting of the holy name in the streets. You should have seen the ragtag, crazy-looking groups of devotees in the beginning who used to walk down the street. They didn't know how to put the dhoti on right. They had some bed sheet, something. There was no dhotis available. You had to just buy some cloth somewhere. Different colors and wearing jackets in the winter, and they didn't match, and everything was a mess. And they're walking down the street chanting Hare Krishna, but looking very strange. Prabhupada was not embarrassed. The devotees were following their Guru Maharaj. This very humble beginning was not impressive by material standards. But because Srila Prabhupada took shelter, he was not saying, well, we'll wait until we're more organized, we'll wait until we have a more beautiful display. It was the exact opposite. Prabhupada always said, now, do it now. Whatever you have, whatever, that's good. Don't wait. It will act. The process will act. So that is our system. We are not depending on this big, beautiful temple to spread Krishna consciousness. We are not dependent on lots of money. We are not dependent on great contacts in the government. We are dependent on the parampara. So, Srila Prabhupada lived that way. He spread Krishna consciousness that way. And hopefully he imbibed that in us. Because now that is our duty. Vyasa Puja means, literally, because this is Vyasa Puja, this is the process of parampara, it is our business now to dedicate ourselves to Vyasa. A puja, to the puja of Vyas, to the parampara, to dedicate ourselves to that, because that is everything. Everything. That is who we are. That is the definition. And Srila Prabhupada, again, had the bravery and the dedication and the devotion never to waver from that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
We ask Mother Devi Shakti Mataji next.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tharine. Srila Prabhupada, we know, was born September 1896. His parents gave him the beautiful name of Nanda Dulal at that time. And they would call him Nandu. So Srila Prabhupada's birthdays, his appearance days, we have the first record of when Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta in 1965. He was completely alone. He was in the Atlantic Ocean at that time. He was feeling quite sick. But the day before, on Janmashtami, Prabhupada arranged on the ship a whole Janmashtami festival for the crew. He gave a lecture, and then he distributed prasadam. And then alone, he observed his birthday. That was 1965. In 1966, Srila Prabhupada, by that time, had incorporated the ISKCON Society, and he had the Janmashtami festival with his fledgling devotees there in 22nd Avenue. And he announced that the next day, they would have the first initiation celebration. So the first disciples were initiated on Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day, 1966. In 1967, Prabhupada had suffered what he called a heart stroke, and he felt that his life was going to be over. So a month before his Vyasa Puja, he said goodbye to the devotees. One devotee had given him a large donation. So instead of taking a boat back to Vrindavan, he and one of his disciples, Kirtanananda, came back here, where Prabhupada expected to leave his body. That's why he returned here. On Janmashtami of 1967, Prabhupada awarded sannyas to Kirtanananda, and then quietly his Vyasa Puja was celebrated at the Radha Damodar Temple. In 1960, the devotees, when Prabhupada left, Brahmananda, the other devotees he left from New York, they were crying. They didn't know if they would ever see Prabhupada again. He returned 6 months later, and he had to go to Canada for his immigration purposes. So he spent 1968 Vyasa Puja in Montreal with the devotees there. And for the first time, Prabhupada asked the devotees to speak something in glorification of their guru. They weren't expecting that, but they tried their best. 68, yeah. It says in all of the things it says. Anyway, I'm just going by what the history says. So, You were initiated on 68 Vyasa Puja? 68. Wonderful.
In San Francisco.
In San Francisco. Well, according to everything, it says Montreal, August 16th, 1968, had each devotee speak Gorsundar, Mukunda, Jamuna, Hansadura. So you'll have to inform the archives that. Excuse me?
We're blowing your offering.
That's all right. This is why we're all coming together, because
research.
Yeah, got all this from the archives and from Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja history. Okay? So please forgive me.
I was there.
Good. So, 1969, by that time Prabhupada was traveling. He was in Hamburg. And he had the disciples, as we're doing today, try to make their offerings of glorification of the Guru, 1968. So then, that was 1969. So at that time, Prabhupada spoke also about his Guru Maharaj. And he described himself as being a misled young man, and how his Guru Maharaj had saved him. And on their first meeting, his Guru Maharaj asked him to preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world. So Prabhupada gave a glimpse of how much he owed to his own Guru Maharaj, so that we could understand how we should glorify Srila Prabhupada on this Vyasa Puja Day. Now, 1970 was a very turbulent year for Srila Prabhupada. He felt that there was a conspiracy going on within the movement, And he, first of all, from the letterhead, they removed the word acharya. And his correspondence was being filtered by the devotees, so they would only give Prabhupada particular letters. And he was also being restricted in his movements. So Prabhupada, in a very depressed mood, there was supposed to be a great Vyasa Puja. Were you there for that? I was there for that also, yes. A great Vyasa Puja, all the devotees coming together in New Vrindavan. But instead, Srila Prabhupada very quietly left for Tokyo. And he described there that he was going to start his second phase of ISKCON. He created the GBC at that time. And he said, they will now manage and I will be in the background, just giving some direction. While in Tokyo, he arranged for 100,000 books to be printed and sent to his phase two destination, which was India. He wanted to bring exemplary devotees here and start the ISKCON movement in India. So there in Tokyo, he had five sannyasis with him and some grihastha couples. And it was Vyasa Puja Day. So Prabhupada came to the temple and nobody knew what to do, not a single person. There were no garlands, no flowers, no offerings, no feast, nothing. And Prabhupada became so disgusted that he got up and walked out. And the devotees, they went to Prabhupada in his apartment and begged him for a second chance. So on the next day, they observed, Prabhupada gave them instructions at that time how to honor the spiritual master on Vyasa Puja. The next day, they did the Vyasa Puja properly. So that was Tokyo, 1970. Then Prabhupada spent 70-71 in India. None of the rest of the devotees around the world got to see him. He came back in 71 to New York and America, did Maha initiations. And then 71, he was in London, but he didn't have people traveling with him, so there was no real record of what happened at that time. Just his beautiful lecture on that day, 1971, in London. My dear sons and daughters, I'm so much obliged to you that you have become so enthusiastic for offering Vyasa Puja. So by that time, the devotees had understood how they should honor the spiritual master on Vyasa Puja. He said that, I am not teaching you man worship or anthropomorphism. He said that this parampara system, Krishna is the Adi Guru, and it comes down, and then he listed all the major members of the parampara, and it comes down to the present day. And on this day of Vyasa Puja, when we offer honor, just as that unbroken knowledge is coming down, that ripened fruit of knowledge is coming down through the parampara, whatever glorification we offer to our spiritual master, that is being sent right back up to Krishna through the parampara. So he gave a very new point, a point that none of us had actually understood before, that you're not worshiping the man. You're worshiping the parampara system by honoring your guru. So that was a further dimension to the importance of Vyasa Puja. Then 1971. 1972, finally, we had our grand Maha Vyasa Puja in New Vrindavan. You were there for that? Yes, I was also there for that. Now, again, the devotees didn't quite know what to do. But we tried our best. We had made a huge feast for Prabhupada that day. All the best cooks from America had come to cook for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was, they made a pavilion on the hill. Prabhupada was giving a lecture there. And they said, okay, take the feast up to Prabhupada. So I ran up the hill, gave the feast to Prabhupada right there on the Vyasa Sun. He looked at it, he took one little morsel, and then the devotees just devoured the whole plate. We had no idea. We had no idea that that was Prabhupada's lunch. So then when he got back to his quarters, there was nothing for Prabhupada to eat. And they had to gather something together again. We just didn't know, you know, we were still learning. So that was 1972. Finally, we got it together, that Bhagavad Darshan discourse, Bhagavad Katha discourse, and we had wonderful Vyasa Puja for Prabhupada, as best as we imbeciles could do, without properly honoring the spiritual master with prasadam. So then, 1973, yes, again Prabhupada spent in London. He spent three in London, three in New Vrindavan. That's how much he wanted to emphasize the importance of preaching around the world. So 1974, that was here. You were here? I was here also. Were you here? Are you here? Now 1974, again, there's ups and there's downs. Now, nothing was more depressing than the Vyasa Puja of 1974. Because that was when Prabhupada arrived and saw that the temple, he had invited everyone from all over the world. There were a massive 600 devotees here who Prabhupada told to come for the grand opening. And when he walked in the gate, he saw that the temple wasn't ready. And that put him into intense anxiety because so many people had been invited. Fortunately, they hadn't sent any invitations out within India. So Prabhupada, the night before Janmashtami, the chief minister came. He was a Muslim gentleman, gave a very nice lecture about how we have to preach Indian culture right here in the courtyard. And Prabhupada had a raging fever, 104 degrees. I don't know what that is in Celsius. But he was actually being carried, but he sat through the whole program. And when he got back, because I was in Prabhupada's house service at that time, I saw Prabhupada just collapsed on his Vyasa son. He was so sick from the entire ordeal of the grand opening not happening in 74. Regardless, the next day, and you have to remember, the temple wasn't ready. The marble had just been laid, it hadn't been polished yet. The only thing that was ready in the temple was Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa son. So Prabhupada came here to his Vyasa son, and we had bought all of the paraphernalia for washing his feet. His feet were washed, and very short lecture. It must not have been more than 10 minutes, because by that time, that sickness had begun. And for 2 weeks, Prabhupada couldn't eat, and we started 24-hour kirtan at that time. So that was the 1974 Vyasa Puja. Then 1975, because each year we learn something. Now, 1975, Prabhupada taught us something very important. Every year, from I believe it was 74 on, they made the Vyasa Puja book. So when Prabhupada saw the Vyasa Puja book that year, he said that it was written there, Prabhupada's 79th appearance day. So Prabhupada said, it's not my 79th appearance day, it's my 80th. You're all mudhas. He said, but this is very good, because even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he considered himself, he said that his spiritual master also called him a mudha. So we have to be like that in front of our spiritual master. So he explained that the proper system is that the day that you're born, when the Jatakarma sanskar is performed, that's your first birthday. And then after that, second, third, fourth. So that's why it was Prabhupada's 80th birthday. But by Western calculation, we mudhas wrote the 79th, because we didn't understand the proper astrological configuration of what Prabhupada's birthday actually was. So that was what Prabhupada taught us in 1975. He was in New Vrindavan there. Then, the lecture that we heard today, that was given in Hyderabad. The day before, this was 1976, Prabhupada, he inaugurated the beautiful temple of Radha Madan Mohan. Beautiful deities, if you've ever gone to Hyderabad. And it was a wonderful, the South Indian Brahmin, fantastic ceremony. But the next day, just as, you see, they would send Prabhupada the invitations to the different, from the different temples for Janmashtami. And Prabhupada noted in some of these invitations that they only made the invitation for Janmashtami. And he wrote to the devotees that along with Janmashtami, you have to write Vyasa Puja when you send the invitations. We also need to do that. That the two celebrations go together. So this is one thing that we learned. So in 1976, when we all heard the lecture today, all of the important things that Prabhupada was teaching us, so at the end, he said that actually, because he had come from France, and in France they had made a Vyasasan for Prabhupada, and he was lecturing at a university, at the that art one. So the radical students made a huge revolt after Prabhupada's lecture, that why are you sitting on such a big seat? So Prabhupada said at that time that when I go for public lectures, there should be no Vyasasan. We shouldn't, because people don't understand, they think that it's man worship. They don't understand the parampara system. So Prabhupada excused himself. He said, please do not be envious. We need your mercy. These were the last lines in his lecture that day. He wanted everyone to become, he gave the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yare Deko Tare Kaho Krishna Upadesh, that everyone should become a guru in their home, wherever they are. So Prabhupada was expressing that I'm not the only guru. I haven't come from a mysterious place, done some gigantic miracle. No, I just did what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to do, and that is I taught the message of the parampara without changing it. So 1977, Prabhupada was here in 1977. He felt that he was rotting. So 2 weeks before the Vyasa Puja and Janmashtami, Prabhupada decided, I'm going. I don't want to rot here. So he couldn't move. You were here then, yeah?
I was here then also.
He couldn't move. He had to, they had to put a mattress on the back of the... You were in charge of the guest house then. Yeah. Yeah, you were in charge of the mattresses?
One of my good mattresses.
You put the mattress there. You want to know anything about mattresses, talk to Tosan Krishna Prabhu. So Tosan Krishna Prabhu put the mattress in the car and Prabhupada lay on it. He was going to go preach. And he told me, he said, I'm going here, then there, and there. You come with me, you can cook for me when I feel... And he had such plans. He really wanted to go preach, although he couldn't even move, Srila Prabhupada. Hands all swollen, feet swollen, couldn't walk, couldn't eat. Prabhupada was going to preach. So when he reached London and collapsed, they had to do an emergency operation. And every day they would bring Prabhupada in a palanquin, so down to the Soho Street temple. And he couldn't sit on the Vyasasan, so they would put his palanquin at the Vyasasan. So on Vyasa Puja day, the daily routine was all the devotees from Europe came for kirtan. They would have such a beautiful kirtan. The tears would just be flowing. And then on that day on Vyasa Puja, they had a beautiful kirtan, most beautiful kirtan. And then after the kirtan, instead of many people speaking, Tamal Krishna Maharaj got up and he began year by year explaining all of the great milestones that Prabhupada accomplished within ISKCON in his preaching. And every once in a while when he forgot something, Prabhupada would interject. So the devotees, they would just jai, jai, or else they would laugh, or else they would cry. And this is how that last Vyasa Puja was observed. No one knew it would be the last one. Then Prabhupada came back here, and we know, November 14th, 1977, Srila Prabhupada returned to the Nitya Lila of Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Shri Shri Krishna Balarama, Shri Shri Gornatai. So we have a whole history, although it might be wrong, of how Vyasa Puja developed over the years. And we must carry that on, that every year, with flowers, with garlands, with beautiful prasadam, with glorification, we take this one day out of the year to all gather together and honor Srila Prabhupada as representative of the parampara. And through that honor, we're pleasing the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So this year's, we had a meeting in Shidamayapur, all the GBCs, gurus, sannyasis. And the preparation for the next generation is going to follow will be based from how we keep Srila Prabhupada's legacy and teachings intact. And it is very hopeful that in the future, if we follow strictly what Srila Prabhupada taught us and gave to us, that for the next many generations, for the next 10,000 years, Srila Prabhupada's movement ISKCON will become the most powerful movement in the world. And as he predicted, that it'll be noted in the history that this movement is the one who saved the world from being barbarians. We've been traveling for the last 3 months extensively, North America and Russia, and devotees all over the world are very, very enthusiastic. Our movement is thriving. Many devotees are joining. Books being distributed profusely. There was one temple. It's a small temple, but devotees are very enthusiastic, very intelligent. And in less than 1 hour, we distributed over 135 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not me, but I'm with a group of my Guru Maharaj. Which means also we should try to promote as much as possible Srila Prabhupada's books, the teachings, which will give knowledge to everyone to go back home, back to Godhead. And especially we try to promote the Srimad Bhagavatam in the month of Bhadra, that Purnima, where it says that if you give Srimad Bhagavatam as a gift, this is like a shortcut of going back to Godhead. It'll give you that benediction and mercy, a ticket to go back home to Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. So be sure you procure one set. We'll try to get...
His mother bought him a set on his birthday.
Oh, wow. And that day, Bhadra Purnima. So that's around September 14 or 13th. Toshan Krishna Prabhu's mother gifted him a set of Srimad Bhagavatam on that day. Which year was this? 1969. Just imagine that. No idea, but then...
It just came out.
Oh, it just came out. So we have the book stall here, the BBT, Contact Saranga Thakur for Srila Prabhupada's books. This is my offering for this year's Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my koti-koti humble obeisances unto your lotus feet again and again on this most auspicious day of your Vyasa Puja. With all humility and respect, we are gathered here today to celebrate your holy appearance day, being a bona fide representative of Lord Krishna and the whole parampara system as enjoined by the Supreme Lord himself. As a bona fide guru in our disciplic succession, we are indebted to your ever compassion and kindness to guide in assisting and giving direction in our spiritual life. The process of devotional service is not so difficult, and at the same time, it is not that easy as well, for it constitutes the act of ultimate surrender unto you and Lord Krishna for our well-being. As living conditioned souls, we are prone to be diverted on the right path of self-realization and not able to follow the process in earnest. However, with the association of the devotees who are engaged in their loving devotional service to Sri Guru and Gauranga, hopefully we will also be inspired and continue with the execution of this greatest benediction to be an aspiring devotee unto your lotus feet someday. May we not be implicated in the cycle of birth and death, because as long as we have this material body, we are not freed from material desires. And thus, liberation from the cycle of repeated birth and death cannot be reached at once. May I not be succumbed by the external energy, and my mind not be deviated from the lotus feet of Sisi Radhe Shyam. May my only desire is to serve you birth after birth, be my only desire at all times. Taking shelter unto your lotus feet means taking shelter unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Without your mercy, no one will get the mercy of the Lord. And trying to get your mercy means one is willing to follow your instructions and the instructions of the Supreme Lord based from his teachings and instructions from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I pray that someday I may be able to be qualified your servant and help to assist you in spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to give others the holy name of the Lord, and inspire everyone whom I will meet in the process of devotional service. Please forgive me for all the inadequacies and shortcomings that I may have in rendering service unto you. You are my only hope and shelter birth after birth. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, again and again, your most unqualified servant. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pasata Desatarine Vancha Kalpadurubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo. So, Srila Prabhupada, you have wrote in this concluding lines of a Chaitanya Charitamrita that we can serve a Acharya by two ways, by Bapu and Bani. But Bani Seva is more important than Bapu is. Some have opportunity, but everyone can serve his Bani. And this Bani is coming through Parampara system. And the first book I got, that is perfect question and perfect answer. And there is Prabhupada wrote, if there is one name of God, that is Krishna. So I realized this is from Parampara, this message is from Parampara. This is where from Brahma, Madhya Gaudiya Sampradaya, Brahmaji told, Iswara, परम कृष्ण सचिदानंद विग्रह अनादिर आदिर गोविंद सर्व कारण कारणम. सो प्रभुपाद गिव द सेम मैसेज इन हिज बुक्स. सो दैट्स व्हाई टू प्लीज प्रभुपाद, प्रभुपाद गिव सो मच इंपोर्टेंस फॉर डिस्ट्रीब्यूटिंग हिज बुक्स. वी कैन गेट दिस मैसेज परंपरा सिस्टम फ्रॉम बुक्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद. इट इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट. आई बिकम ए डिवोटी बाई रीडिंग दिस बुक्स. That is one name of God, that is Krishna. So that's why we are in this Brahma Madhya Gaudiya Sampradaya. From Brahma this Sampradaya is coming to Narada Vyasa, then from Vyasadeva Madhavacharya is a direct disciple, and in that Sampradaya Madhavendra Puri, Swarupuri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Goswamis and Srila Prabhupada came in this Sampradaya. And there is, when Prabhupada came with some Western disciples to Vrindavan, some people used to say, Prabhupada, that there is a rumor that Goswami are telling that Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami appeared to you and he gave you instruction to go Western world for preaching, and all the Goswamis, they are in back, they are empowering him. Is it true? One time Harishwari Prabhu was talking, that he asked one time, two times, three times, Prabhupada not telling. Then fourth time Prabhupada just look at him. What is new? Everyone knows about this. So Acharya is not just speculating, he is giving this message same as it is. That's why we got this Gita, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Whole parampara is in our Gita, we see Prabhupada enlisted, he gave the list of whole parampara, how this knowledge came. So that's why it's very important. The other books and Srila Prabhupada books, he also discussed in GBC meetings, in Sannyasi GBC meetings. There's also many importance. They say that there is only criticism in ISKCON is that we are not reading Prabhupada books. We are reading so many books. There are so many authors now, so writing so many books. But still, Prabhupada books has a special position, because this message is coming through parampara, and it is also very authentic, because Prabhupada wrote, one should write something on spiritual topic when he is free from four defects of a conditioned soul. No cheating propensity, no not committing mistake, no, not getting illusion, and imperfect senses. So when a person having all these defects is writing something, then there is something, we cannot get full advantage of reading those books. So that's why Prabhupada books and his Bhaktivedanta purport, they are different. He has a special position. There is nothing, no difference between the sloka and this purport that Prabhupada is writing. Is very important. Because you see, one time journalist was asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, how you wrote such wonderful books? How everyone is appreciating? So Prabhupada told, Krishna was prompting, I was writing. So even his secretary, Tamalakrishna Maharaj, tried to mediate something to you.
Rameswaram.
Okay. So he meditating that. So anyhow, that okay, so the super soul is residing in our Guru Maharaj's heart, and also so from within he is giving this knowledge. Mata Smriti Gyan, then he was just writing. So Prabhupada stop him. No, don't speculate. I did not say this. Krishna was prompting, I was writing. So many stories in London, here Prabhupada also. So we can see these books are not, even Prabhupada himself was reading his books sometime, even when he was going to bed before he was reading Krishna book, and he asked to say servant Sutakit Prabhu, and one time Jasamuti Nandan was telling Prabhupada, how can I write, how can I wrote such books? This is my book, I wrote this. So we can see. So it is very important to read Prabhupada books, though there are so many books were coming. And we are specifically indebted to Srila Prabhupada for his message that is his given in his books. And also we read and also distribute these books. In this way, the whole world can be benefited. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Trinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nibhishesha Shinyavadi Pashtatale Shatarni. My dear Srila Prabhupada, thank you for giving me the opportunity to act as your servant to share what I have received from you with others. It is very rewarding when devotees appreciate your words and are able to change their lives to make progress toward loving Krishna. We hope against hope that one day we can represent you purely and spread your message without motive or change. We know that without your blessings, we cannot do anything in spiritual life. So we pray for your blessings, for courage to carry on our service in any circumstance. When I was in 1976, I was pujari in Calcutta, and Prabhupada came for darshanarti, and usually we have lots of flowers. We had like 50 garlands donated every day, and 144 lotus flowers, 144 roses, so I would change the flowers 5 times a day. So that particular day, somebody came and gave more flowers before darshanarti. So there were everywhere flowers. And Prabhupada, he went and he took darshan, and then afterwards he sat on his yasasan. And there was like 6 or 7 sannyasis surrounding him. And he called us up and he said, thank you very much for worshipping Radha. And he said, Radha Madhava, although it was Radha Govinda. He said, thank you for worshipping the deity so nicely. And afterwards, one sannyasi told us, did you hear what Prabhupada said when you were offering obeisances? And we said, no. And he said, Prabhupada said, be blessed. So I thought, wow, we got the blessings. But actually, then the next day I realized, well, I have to earn the blessings again. It's not like I can retire at the age of 27. And I got the blessings already. No, we have to, every day, we have to earn the blessings of the spiritual master and try to make him happy every day. It's not just one day you get it and you go back to Godhead, and it's not so easy. You have to work. And so, there is one lecture. Now, this is another thought here. In New York in 1966, Prabhupada said, if you have got any distress, you have got any confidential thing, you have to submit to Krishna. Krishna, I'm suffering in this way. I'm fallen in this tossing ocean of material illusion. Kindly save me. I can understand now I have no identification with this material world. I'm simply put here. And so sometimes we're chanting our rounds and different thoughts come, but we can pray. We can say, oh, just see how fallen I am. Please save me. Please let me chant with love and affection. So Prabhupada said, just like if I'm put into the Atlantic Ocean, I have no identification with the ocean, but I'm subjected to the tossing waves of the ocean. Similarly, we are a spiritual spark, fragmental part of Krishna. Some way or other, we're put into this material ocean and there is tossing. So, I'm being tossed. Don't identify. Don't try to solve the tossing. That is not possible. If you want to make solution of the tossing waves of the Atlantic Ocean, when you are fallen there, it is useless foolishness. That is not possible. Don't be foolish in that way. That will go on. That is Atlantic Ocean's nature. You cannot stop it. You have to get out of it. Please pick us up from this tossing ocean of material existence and offer us up as servants to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Please help us to always remember your instructions and have faith. We'll meet you again someday. Please give us courage to serve you always and help us remember your loving presence. Jai Shri Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskacha Desitarne. Last month, at the end of August, was the anniversary, the 53rd anniversary of the incorporation of ISKCON, where Prabhupada had different followers sign a document that was submitted to the authorities to legally incorporate ISKCON. Mukunda Maharaj, he was one of the original signatories on this document. He remembers Srila Prabhupada at that time when the movement was just getting started. Mukunda Maharaj was the person who located the matchless gifts property, and he donated some money in order for Srila Prabhupada to have his very first center, his very first temple. Mukunda Maharaj, he remembers Srila Prabhupada at that time and his interaction and his observations of the people from New York. And he recalls that Srila Prabhupada would often remark on the condition of the people. It wasn't in terms of their age. It wasn't in terms of their wealth. It wasn't in terms of their health. But Srila Prabhupada would remark that certain people were very unfortunate. They were unfortunate because they had no capacity and no inclination to understand the message of Lord Chaitanya that Srila Prabhupada was delivering. They were unfortunate, Srila Prabhupada described. We are very, very fortunate. Somehow or other, we're here today in a mood of glorifying Srila Prabhupada. We're in a mood of worshipping the deity. We're in a mood of submitting ourselves to the process of Bhakti Yoga. We are most fortunate, and we should constantly endeavor for a mood of humility in which we can truly appreciate our great fortune brought about by the efforts of Srila Prabhupada. And in this mood of humility, we should acknowledge the debt that we have to Srila Prabhupada and how we can endeavor to repay that debt by being good members of ISKCON society and by applying ourselves to the very principles, the very objectives that Srila Prabhupada enumerated in the document incorporating ISKCON 53 years ago. I've written a small poem here. My gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. It's entitled, I Will Always Owe You. You came to lift me from my mire of illusion, to to eternally free me from constant pain and confusion of endless birth and death. I owe you my every breath. You were loving and kind, yet a scholar and a sage, and with logic and encouragement, you led me from my cage. To divine truths you knew, I owe everything to you. As your movement grew, and many people you met, fallen souls like me, I bear you such a debt for your example, instructions and such, I owe you oh so much. I joined your revolution. I absorbed your daily words. I engaged in your movement as a result of what I've heard. I redefined life's goal. I owe you my very soul. Countless interactions I observed that contributed to your praise. And these memories will remain, though you are gone from my gaze. Yet I conclude, day by day, I owe you more than I can pay. My compass has been set, though my journey is internal, as I proceed back to home with the relationships eternal that in my heart I'll enshrine. I owe so much, nothing is mine. So, on this sacred day when you took birth, I pledge my heart and soul for all they may be worth. And with renewed dedication until the day I die, for I can never repay your mercy, but forever I can but try. Srila Prabhupada ki! I'd like to say, give a short memory. Today, devotees have very deep mood of gratitude. And Srila Prabhupada, he was an amazing, wonderful person who has done what no one else had ever done in the entire history of Vaishnavism. To take the message of Bhagwat Puran, and specifically the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, to all of the different countries of the world. This had never been done before. Srila Prabhupada is an amazing, amazing person. But he was a person. He was a very real person. In 1971 in London, I had gone out on Sankirtan, distributed my quota, came back quickly, and went to Srila Prabhupada's room. It was afternoon, late afternoon. Srila Prabhupada, setting an example for all of us, was sitting in his room. Behind his small desk, there was a cushion and bolsters, round pillows around him, and he was chanting, just absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. As the door would open, Prabhupada would look, see who was coming, see who was going, but he was absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. And I, young devotee, was watching Prabhupada. I had not had much interaction with Srila Prabhupada. I was simply watching him, simply observing, simply trying to understand his mood, his activities, his presence. Srila Prabhupada was absorbed in his chanting. One devotee, the door opened, one devotee came in. It was Kulashekar Das. The same name of the famous South Indian Maharaj. So Kulashekar, he was a dramatic person. He was emotional, sentimental. So he came, he paid his obeisances. Srila Prabhupada looked at him. He said, Srila Prabhupada, He said, every time I feel I am making some advancement, he said, I have a fall down. He said, this is so discouraging. And it has happened so many times. I do not know if I can find the strength to pick myself up again. So Srila Prabhupada was just listening to him, listening to what he was saying. He said, I do not know if I can find the strength to pick myself up again. I was looking at Srila Prabhupada, not listening to the person, just examining Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he leaned back on his bolster. It was a round shape. He put his head on top of the bolster and his body started shaking. And it took me a moment to understand that Prabhupada was laughing. He was laughing like we very seldom see people laugh. It was a full body ripple. It was a complete laugh. His body was rippling with laughter. Prabhupada had his... I was looking. I had never expected this, never saw this before. His head was on the thing. His mouth was... He was just shaking with laughter, which seemed to me to take several minutes. And I was just looking. And Srila Prabhupada, he resumed sitting position. He looked at Kulashekar, who was just waiting for some instruction. And Srila Prabhupada said, he had a big smile, big, warm, loving smile. He smiled and he said, the problem is that you think you are a big advanced devotee, when actually you are only an infant in spiritual life. And just like the infant, on learning to walk, he falls down so many times. But he picks himself up and he continues to learn the process of walking. He said, after some time, and I remember very clearly, Prabhupada said, after some time, he can learn to run and jump, Prabhupada said, and do so many wonderful athletic things. He said, but do not think you are big advanced devotee when you are still an infant in spiritual life. And Prabhupada resumed his chanting. He had given his, he had to resume. So, spiritual life, Krishna consciousness is very, very joyful. If we give ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness, which is Prabhupada paraphrasing what is in the scriptures, what is in the Leelas of Lord Chaitanya, what is in the Bhagavad, in the Puranas, in the teachings of Narad Muni, the entire Vedic scripture, Srila Prabhupada is repackaging this and giving it in contemporary language so we can understand. If we follow this, we will become joyful. If we try to manufacture our own process in which we are more prominent and we get some extra benefit, or we enhance our career, or we get some additional facility, we will not taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has given. All of us has tasted some of this nectar. This is why we are here. There is an ocean of nectar, both here and in the spiritual world, if we diligently apply ourselves to Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutta Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Navishesha Shunyavadi Pashachate Shatarane. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. Thank you for allowing me to speak. Devotees have been glorifying Srila Prabhupada so beautifully with such nice poetry and reminders of the service of so many devotees. This one devotee that he just spoke about, Kulakshekhar Prabhu, he had a special rasa of humor with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada enjoyed him very much. There's a verse that Srila Prabhupada liked. He goes, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaite kit katitya hyartya prakashante mahatmanaha. It means that those who are mahatmas, who have para bhakti, or Prabhupada translated implicit faith in both the spiritual master, the Supreme Lord, and the spiritual master. For them, all the imports of the Vedic scriptures are revealed. So, in this verse, there's this yata deve tata guru, this like a parenthetical phrase. It means, as you have to the Supreme Lord, so to the spiritual master as the Supreme Lord. It means that we don't know Krishna, but we do know our Guru. And by the mercy of the Guru, then we'll come to know Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasad, like that. And I was reminded when they were speaking, there is this this prayer to Rupa Goswami. It goes, Yang Kali Rupa Sariyadana Nandharata. And there is also another prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If Rupa Goswami had not come, then where would we be? All these things would not have happened. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, all these things would not have happened. We would not know. So the same way, if Srila Prabhupada had not come, you know, where would I be? In 1973, Srila Prabhupada arranged that my husband and I go to Iran to help Atreya Rishi to start a preaching center. Srila Prabhupada was very happy that the preaching had begun in the Muslim in the Middle East, in a Muslim country. And he was very encouraging of us, and he was appreciative, and he came two times to Iran, to Tehran, and to preach and to encourage us and to also set the example as to how to preach. And then there was this one devotee one thing that Prabhupada said, that Prabhupada repeatedly said, was that there are no impediments to bhakti. He was making the point that no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're Christian or Muslim, there are no impediments to bhakti. That in any state that you can serve the Lord. And he gave the example of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. He was born in a Muslim family, but he was able to become Namacharya. He gave the example of Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Allahabad, he named him Acharya, the spiritual master of all the devotees. That Srila Sanatan Goswami was working for Nawab Hussain Shah. He said, Well, he was practically Muslim, that's the way Prabhupada put it. Not practically, absolutely. He was working, he was managing the government of the Shah, and yet he's such an exalted devotee of the Lord. So no impediments. And then he would quote Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tatparvenam Nirma Hrishikesha Hrishikesh. So serving Hrishikesh, with serving the Lord of the senses with the senses, he said, then all the upadis go away, all the impediments will go. It is not that you have to make yourself this is not to say that we don't make an endeavor, but don't wait until you're qualified. This Prabhupada's mood was, no, do it immediately. And you're serving Krishna, and he will give you whatever you need. He will make up what you lack. And I was thinking, there was one devotee who came. I don't know if he's still here, Harinam Prabhu. He was here, Imrindavan, but I'm not sure if he still is. And so Harinam came through. And it was a little strange. Harinam wasn't really suited for preaching in Iran, but he came anyway, and he stayed for some time. And he was preaching there. It wasn't until just recently when I met him here in Vrindavan that he told me why he came. And he had been here in Vrindavan, and so this must have been about 74. And he was staying in Vrindavan, and because he was in Vrindavan, he wanted to become absorbed in the mood of the six Goswamis. And so he was thinking that he should chant 64 rounds a day. So he was chanting 64 rounds a day. And so he was, for some time. Then Prabhupada came, and the devotees all went to Delhi to hear Prabhupada speak. And then Prabhupada said, he was giving his lecture, and he says, don't think that you can become like Rupa Goswami by your chanting. He said, if you want to become like Rupa Goswami, then you have to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so this is why Harinam, he said, this is why I went to Iran to preach. He said, and many devotees at that time, when they heard Srila Prabhupada, they also went out to preach. He said, Kundali, I think, went to Turkey. Another devotee went somewhere else. But everybody was trying to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to join the Sankirtan movement. This was Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that Srila Prabhupada is engaging us in this Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we'll all become followers of Srila Rupa Goswami in that way. Rupa Nugas, Prabhupada said. And I was thinking of this the story that I was reading the other day in the class about Advaita Bhavan. The pujari from Advaita Bhavan had come, and he was saying how he met Srila Prabhupada as a grihasta. Srila Prabhupada used to go to Advaita Bhavan and just sit in the back and chant. And then after some years, he didn't see him. And then one day he saw Sannyasi, and he was also sitting in the back of the temple, and he was chanting and weeping. And afterwards he asked him, who are you? I remember you. And Srila Prabhupada, he said, my name is Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the reason I come here is because my Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible mission. He wants me to go to the West to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. and this is very impossible. So I'm coming here to Advaita Bhavan because this is where Lord Nityananda came. Advaita Acharya was here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here. And they would meet and they would plan the Sankirtan movement. And so in order to get their mercy, to fulfill the desire of my Guru Maharaj, I'm coming here and I'm praying at their lotus feet that they will give me their blessings. And this Pujari was telling this story years later when he received a Back to Godhead and he saw Srila Prabhupada's picture on it. And he realized, oh, he was successful. He received the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. He was able to go to the West. And so he had come to Mayapur to tell this story to the devotees. And so this is the mood of Srila Prabhupada in praying to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is also, we're praying to follow in his footsteps, that we will also be absorbed in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and join this Sankirtan. It is no small thing. It is a great, our great good fortune. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for two things, Prem Ras Niryas and Kaitya Svandana Rag Marg Bhakti, to give this. Rupa Goswami describes Anapita Chirim Chirat Karuniya, that this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. And it's interesting that in the first verse of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatan Goswami, his first Nija Padabja Prema Dhanavatina, that verse, he's giving the almost exact, identical verse to Anarpita Chirim Chirat, describing what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. And we're so fortunate to be in this movement. Srila Prabhupada is taking us. And so we just have to serve and to be involved. And then the upadhis will gradually go away and we'll have their mercy. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Vansha Prabhupada, Vyasra, Kripa Sindhu, Vyagacha, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo.
Om Ajnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Koroti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada wrote the following poem in February 1935 on the occasion of the Vyas Puja celebration of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It delighted Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, especially the sixth stanza, which he felt captured the essence of his preaching against the Mayavadis. After reading this poem, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was especially keen that Srila Prabhupada preach and write in English. The following version of the poem was prepared from two sources. The version Srila Prabhupada included in the March 1952 edition of his Back to Godhead magazine, and the version he wrote by hand on the back of a letter he sent Raidam Das on March 20, 1969. Adore ye all, the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May, when he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. O my Master, the evangelic angel, give us thy light, light up thy candle. Struggle for existence, a human race, the only hope, your divine grace. Misled we are, all going astray. Save us, Lord, our fervent pray. Wonder thy ways to turn our face. Adore thy feet, your divine grace. Forgotten Krishna, we fallen souls, paying most heavy the illusion's toll. Darkness around, all distress, the only hope, your divine grace. Message of service thou hast brought, a meaningful life, as Chaitanya wrought. Unknown to all, it's full of grace, that's your gift, your divine grace. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast removed. This gives us a life anew and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. Had you not come, who had told the message of Krishna, forceful and bold? That's your right. You have the mace. Save me, a fallen, your divine grace. The line of service as drawn by you is pleasing and healthy like morning dew. The oldest of all, but in new dress. Miracle done, your divine grace. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhubaneshwar Prabhu asked me to read his offering, Vyas Puja offering, because he's busy now cooking Rajboga for Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, as he has done every day for nearly 30 years. Bhubaneshwar Prabhu ki jai. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. We would like to repay you for giving us a life of bliss and knowledge, though it is not possible, like catching the tail of a dog to cross the ocean. You explain what's what and who's who, no room for speculation. You gave the do's and don'ts to make progress in spiritual life as given by past acharyas. Your instructions, chant 16 good rounds, follow four regulative principles, attend the morning program, and much more. You stressed in your purports, life comes from life, not chemicals. They never went to the moon, and that bhakti was the best way to perfection. We are trying to give our life a full surrender. We hope to attain love of God, Krishna Prema. It's only by your mercy. Thanking you for the treasure of devotional service, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, your servant, Bhubaneshwar Das. Initiated in 1973 at Los Angeles, California. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I'll just add a few words. I was thinking about this morning at Mangalarati. We sing, Sangsara Davan Alalihaloka Tranaya Karunya Ghanaghanatvam Praptasya Kalyana Gunarnavasya Vande Guroho Sri Charanaravindam. The spiritual master is like a rain cloud, and he's raining his mercy in the form of his instructions on all the conditioned souls who are being burnt and parched and scorched by the blazing fire that is material existence. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, where does he get this water from? He gets it from the ocean. The ocean water, infinite water, no dearth of water, and it's even got salt in it, Srila Prabhupada used to say, to preserve it so it doesn't rot. But through the process of distillation, the sun pulls water out of the ocean and puts it into the cloud. That cloud is the spiritual master who rains his mercy on those of us who are burning with the madness of material existence. So we can never repay that debt to Srila Prabhupada for taking that kindness upon us. But Srila Prabhupada used to say, just as I am doing, you also do. About 35 years ago, I was living in Cuttack, Odisha, and I had the association of Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Sri Jati Shekhar Prabhuji. He was a grihastha, elderly man, vanaprastha, you can say. And he told me, he showed me the Back to Godhead magazine that someone had given him, and he showed me. He said, you should have the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Back to Godhead magazine. Also, where did Srila Prabhupada get all of this information? He got it from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, I was thinking at that time, it's natural. Every disciple thinks his guru is the main thing. But actually, as we heard from Srila Prabhupada himself, this Vyas Puja is meant for the worship of Vyas Dev, just like the Vyas Asan is meant for the hearing from Vyas Dev. And that only happens when we actually become transparent. We see, we can't see anything but a society, international society for Krishna consciousness, which was established through the hard work, the product of Srila Prabhupada's very deep faith and surrender under the instructions of his spiritual master. We can easily take it for granted. So in a sense, although it's very easy to see Srila Prabhupada as the monarch of this institution, it's also helpful to see that Srila Prabhupada, his real special characteristic was that he was a very faithful disciple. If we see him in that light, it is very helpful. His primary characteristic was not only, as we heard from Panchagoda Prabhu this morning, that Prabhupada used to hear. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted this about Srila Prabhupada. He hears. It's hard to hear. It's hard to hear, actually. People are more attached to speaking than they are to hearing. But Srila Prabhupada had that very special quality of hearing, and hearing with faith. And as Manjari Mataji shared with us already, literally the concluding verse of the Shvetashvatara Upanishad tells us, you understand all the Vedas, automatically they are all revealed to you if you have absolute faith in your spiritual master. This was Prabhupada's distinguishing characteristic. This was the special characteristic that put him so far above everyone else who appreciated and surrendered to any degree to the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Prabhupada learned this, or he had this qualification by nature. But in a few fortunate disciples, Srila Prabhupada instilled a very deep appreciation for this principle. This is his chief teaching, we can say. To have this level of guru nishtha that he had for his spiritual master, that is what we're learning from him. As soon as we come to that level, then we become the next Vyas, next representative in Parampara. Not exactly Vyas, but representative of Vyas. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, 1,000 times removed, but transparent, transcendental, Tatpadatva Nirmala. So, on days like today, very special day, Smara Hari Prabhu has pointed out for us our good fortune, inconceivably good fortune, to be here today. More valuable than taking birth in the heavenly planets, more valuable than becoming a billionaire in this world, more valuable than realizing spiritual gyan, more valuable than any amount of discipline or whatever opulence you appreciate. The most valuable thing is to sit here at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and glorify his lotus feet and glorify his sacrifice, his surrender, his faith in his spiritual master and the fruits of those things, which is this great institution that we're so lucky to be a part of by his divine grace. So let us bow to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and on this special occasion pray for his divine grace, for his blessings, that we can also become similarly faithful disciples of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Om Ajnanatim Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshutam Jena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Guruve Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschasta Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadara Shivasadi Shri Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Srila Prabhupada Vyas Puja Mahamahotsav ki jai. So first of all, I thank you very much, His Grace Panjagoda Prabhu, Dharmatma Prabhu, they allowed me to speak today, my special master appearance, holy appearance day here, Sri Dham Vrindavan. I was very fortunate along all the Vaishnavas, senior Vaishnava, God brother, God sisters. So I am small devotees, but still they have respected me as I am Prabhupada disciple actually. So just like yesterday, the Janmashtami celebration everywhere and throughout the world, and ISKCON and even outside ISKCON, and in the Vrindavan, all the Braja Mandala, they say, Nanda Ghar Ananda Bhayo Jai Kanaya Lala Ki. So today is the all the ISKCON celebrating and the Prabhupada appearance day. So today we have to be say like that, ISKCON Ghar Ananda Bhaya Jaya Srila Prabhupada Ki. So he's very auspicious, like Krishna appeared in Ashtami day, Prabhupada appeared the Navami days, Navami Tithi Madhu Masa Samhita is very auspicious in the Ramayana. Also Lord Ramchandra appeared these tithis. So everybody in India is very famous Ram Navami. So our spiritual master Prabhupada appears today. So we are celebrating here. So Prabhupada is equal for all everyone. He doesn't just like the Manjari Mataji already say. So Prabhupada equal everyone. He doesn't say that you are Muslim, you this, that, you are this caste, this caste. He accepts everyone as a becoming Krishna devotees. He sees the soul. He doesn't see the body. You are white, you are black, you are red, or whatever. Prabhupada accepted. Even I have a white body, but he make me his disciple. He accepted me as a devotee, become devotee. He tell me. So he said, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. He said that you accept Krishna as your mother, father, everything there. So by his mercy, so he initiated me here, this place only, Vrindavan Dham, 1975, both initiation. So that time, So Prabhupada is very merciful upon me also. At that time, although the management was here, devotee, so they make me devotee. Even I'm not engineer, no I'm doctor. I'm simply from the poor man family. So, but Prabhupada accepted me as a disciple. He preached to me, you become a devotee. This is so because of his mercy, I'm still remaining in this ISKCON. I'm doing seva. I'm praying to Prabhupada. So, like that. So, Prabhupada, one time, the Prabhupada coming here in the wheelchair and sitting here in front of this tree for darshan. So, that time, because the Gurukul boy, all they are doing kirtan, and Sachinandan Prabhu, he do kirtan. Prabhupada likes him. He's a Bengali. He's a pujari also here. We are together. So one day Sachidandan Prabhu not came for kirtan in front of Prabhupada do kirtan here. He said, where is Sachidandan? You call him. So then after Sachidandan came, he said, Tame Prabhupada spoke to him, the Bengali, ki matlab aapko, you don't know that I am coming, that you have to do kirtan here. So why you are late? So then he started kirtan. Then so that time all darshan, the people, devotee, all the outside people, just like now is coming the darshan, darshan people, you know, doing darshan for the Krishna Balaram, the Shyam Sundar, the people, public is coming. So so they are coming. Then one devotee in front of Prabhupada is standing there. Then he telling that the people want to come in front of Prabhupada. Fold his hand and like that, namaskaram. So, the devotee is pushing like back, like that, not to come in front of Prabhupada, something like that. Then Prabhupada see this is going on. Then Prabhupada say, what are you doing? He told the Prabhupada, because they want to come to near to you. So, that's why I'm stopping that, he should not come to near to you. So you say, Prabhupada say, you don't know this India. The Indian people, they know how to respect the sadhus, but you don't know. Why are you stopping them? They want to come to me. So they want to take the blessings. So then Prabhupada allow them to come. Then everybody coming, the folding hand on the Prabhupada, namaskaram. Then Prabhupada say, okay, like that, smiling them and by old cheer. So like the Prabhupada is very merciful. He allow everyone to come to join the mission, become a devotee of Krishna. So another incident I have to tell you. 1977, when Prabhupada went before Kumbh Mela, I was with Hansadutta party. Hansadutta Maharaj take me traveling in the South India with a bus. So we are in Hyderabad. Then the Hyderabad form. Then Prabhupada came to, we have a Hyderabad farm, we have the festival was there for 2 days. So then Prabhupada came there, so many devotees, many GVCs along with them. So then was one big tree was there, big tree. So in front of the tree, there's many quarters there. And then that tree, evening 5 o'clock, there's a prasadam going on. Devotee taking prasadam. Then Prabhupada comes to morning and do the Vyas puja for Guru puja. So then that time, the devotee eat that place. Nobody cleaned up that place. Nobody switched up. Nobody cleaned up that place. So then Prabhupada came the morning. After morning walk, he came that place, that tree. So he said, then he saw this lying, you know, dal in this, like that. The Prabhupada said, what's going on? What is this here? The one devotee told there, because yesterday they eat prasadam here. They have not cleaned up this place. Prabhupada said, why they don't clean up? Prabhupada gets very much upset. Why don't you? This is Shudras. This is Shuddha Ishwar. You don't know that after eating, you have to clean up this. Then he called the Mahamsa Maharaj. He called Ram Sadda Prabhu, was also there. Hansadutta Maharaj, Jagat Guru. They are big sannyasis. The Prabhupada shouted anything. Then he told the Mahamsa that you are Indian, but they are foreigner. They are okay. They don't know they have a culture. Because I teach them, they are okay. But you are Indian. You don't know that after eating, you have to make the clean up this place. Why you do that? Then after everybody bring bucket, everything, then they clean down nicely with the water. Then Prabhupada sit in the Vyasasana. Then Prabhupada say, okay, Hansaduta, you can lead the kirtan, Guru Puja. Then he told Jagat Guru, okay, you can offer arati. Then after Guru Puja is over, so that time, then Prabhupada started Jai Radha Madhava singing. Then Jai Radha Madhava finished. Then on the quarter there, in line, the one middle quarter was closed. Door is closed, everything, all the quarters is open, one quarter, the door is closed. Then Prabhupada say, why this, that quarter door is closed? Then one devotee told, Prabhupada ji, because one devotee is sleeping. Prabhupada say, it's 8 o'clock, he's a devotee, sleeping, he's a demon. You wake him, why he's sleeping? Up to 8 o'clock, he's sleeping. Then they call him the devotee, actually it's Mahabhuj. So big jacket, and then he came to in front of Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I'm very sick. Prabhupada said, for coming to morning program, you are sick. For that time eating a big plate, big plate prasadam, you are not sick. You are eating prasadam, but why you are not coming to the program? So like that, Prabhupada very strict, at the same time is very, very soft. Very, very merciful. So today is his appearance day. So everybody should pray and Prabhupada get his mercy for us. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So this offering is sent by Mahadevi. I think she said she was in Jagannath Puri or somewhere like that. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesa Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. Please accept my fallen head, Srila Prabhupada, and the last 44 years of my life at your lotus feet. All glories to your innumerable glorious qualities. The Vedic scriptures sing of your character. All glories to who you are, Srila Prabhupada, and for giving yourself so freely in every town and village on this earth. The current rise in popularity of vegetarianism and yoga in the West is largely due to the distribution of your books and your Krishna consciousness process. Even the upgrade of worship in Vrindavan temples is due to your ISKCON examples. Our only wish is to have our consciousness purified by the words emanating from your lotus mouth. By you, ignorance is destroyed. You have taught us through Krishna's eternal words in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, how essential and sublime is devotional service. Bhaktya Tvananyaya Sakya Aham Eva Vido Arjuna Gyatam Drashtum Chatatvena Praveshtam Cha Parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you and thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Bhagavad Gita 11:54. Back in the 70s, when we were distributing your blue paperback Krishna books, known as the Trilogy, your books were inundating America and Europe. Your books were being illegally distributed by cases at airports, concerts, malls, Kentucky Derbies, Indianapolis 500s, Las Vegas casinos. You are always with us, giving us courage and faith. We were going to jail for distributing your books. Young, American college hippie girls. Our parents were horrified. We would do kirtan with our jailmates because you taught us, wherever we are, chant Hare Krishna. So even the discomfort of being in jails was trying to serve you. Even getting a shotgun in our face because we were parked and sleeping on someone's place. Get off my land, the redneck farmer yelled.
with his huge gun ready to fire. We screeched the van so fast out of there, singing Namaste so loudly. We would do anything for you, Srila Prabhupada. The first time I saw you in person was distributing your books on O'Hare Krishna Airport, 1975. The same place that a demon had put out a cigarette on my left hand when I had tried to give him your book. I still have the scar to remember you by, Srila Prabhupada. You were coming through with your entourage and we all wanted to run over and see you. But our SKP leader told us to keep distributing and that service would please you. Sure enough, you stopped, waving at us with your cane high in the air. You watched us for a few minutes. You gave us your effulgent smile and we were filled with your divine grace. When you begin to walk on, and if when you began to walk on, an effulgent swan gliding along, we all offered our obeisances right there in the middle of the crowded terminal aisle. Five vans for 5 years transformed into your traveling NVTSKP. Six of us American girls under 22 years old in each van. Quotas of $600 to $1,000 a day. Some for your BBT, some for the construction of Vrindavan and Mayapur, and most for the Prabhupada Palace here in New Vrindavan. Distributing and collecting day and night, six sleeping bags in the van side by side, year after year. Then things got even more dangerous. We were literally running from the law. It was exciting, but truly dangerous at every step. And then there were unfavorable internal issues. When we thought we couldn't go on, we came to your New Vrindavan temple and so kindly gave your Sankirtan, you came to your New Vrindavan temple and you so kindly gave your Sankirtan Devi Dasis some special mercy, all 25 of us. We were all lined up in front of your Vyasasan to get our cookie from your lotus hand and be bathed in your divine glances. When it was my turn, you clearly saw through me my doubts, anxieties, and fears. My hand was trembling, my eyes filled with tears. I heard you distinctly say to me from within my heart, "I am always with you, do not be fearful." Those two sentences have carried me through all the joys and strife on the battlefield of life. By your grace, one can cross over the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. You gave us the relishable mercy of prasad, Srila Prabhupada. Kitchen religion, you said, non-different from Krishna himself. We organized the prasad cookie marathons in Los Angeles in the 80s. We called them the Prabhupada Marathons. Hundreds and thousands of dollars went to your BBT, as the overhead was so little in making the cookies. Rukmini and Dwarkadesh were getting a mountain of cookies every morning for part of their breakfast offerings. Watsika Avenue smelled like the Govinda's bakery. Booking 30 tables a day in front of busy shopping stores for the summer and Christmas Prabhupada marathons, your devotees were so fired up to distribute Krishna's mercy to millions of souls all over LA. People were tasting the difference and saying, "There's something different about these cookies." Your devotees are so innovative and creative. Deal of the Day became famous, and people would come far and wide to buy for offices, parties, their homes, to buy boxes of prasad, all relishing the exquisite taste of God. We bow down to your lotus feet with great awe and reverence. Attachment to your lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. Only by your divine grace and Krishna and Balaram's exceptional mercy can the lame walk and the blind see. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, in the gutter of material life, and yet you and Krishna allowed a wretch like me to serve you in the association of your devotees. So many of your warriors have left this planet to continue to serve you. You said you would take all of your boys and girls back home. I wonder, with each Vyasa Puja offering, will it be my last in this world? Although you see exactly who I am, devoid of any devotion, you still let me try to serve you, serve your Sankirtan mission, serve your devotees in some way, come what may, every day. By your divine grace, you have engaged all of us in devotional service here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Your divine process of Krishna consciousness from early morning till we take rest is the best. Reading Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna is ever fresh as time goes by so quickly. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Talking and walking with you every day, praying to see you in everything and everyone, praying you will open up my crusty, lusty, dusty, rusty heart and let me share your divine compassion with others effectively. This is my constant prayer. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for letting us engage in devotional service here in your ISKCON Vrindavan. We still carry your small books with us everywhere we go and distribute Mahaprasad to whoever will take. Just maybe we can learn how to truly love you with even a drop of genuine devotion. Just maybe we can truly love Krishna and Balaram and their devotees, serving with bhakti sincerely wherever we are, wherever we go. Ahai tuki haparati hata. When, oh when? When souls learn about you and your divine process of Krishna consciousness, they come in contact with the exceptional mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are also our most wonderful, charming and playful Krishna and Balaram with their cows in Vrindavan. We get to see and serve Radhe Shyam and Tulsi Devi, offering personal service to them and their devotees. There are not enough eloquent phrases or prayers to describe your unlimited glories, Srila Prabhupada, and I cannot express my gratitude sufficiently for the constant flow of blessings you give us profusely. Srila Prabhupada, you are an ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor, the Lord and Master of the devotees. O Srila Prabhupada, be merciful to us and kindly give us the shade of your lotus feet. We take shelter of you eternally, praying to be always used by you, your eternal Dasi, Mahadevi Dasi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Mahadevi Matiji ki jai.
As many of you know, Gopal Krishna Maharaj has been connected to Vrindavan from the very beginning, and he's always thinking about the welfare of the devotees and the Vrindavan project. So this is from Gopal Krishna Maharaj offering. Dear Srila Prabhupada, I wish to offer my most fallen obeisances at your lotus feet 1,000 times. You are a bona fide representative of Srila Vyasadeva and hence entitled to receive Vyasa Puja every year. Being a pure devotee of Krishna, your desire is to make everyone Krishna conscious. That is why you emphasized the importance of reading. You emphasize the importance of reading and distributing your books. Your books have changed the lives of millions around the planet. 2 days ago, I met a young Indian man in Kurukshetra. This man owns a shop that repairs almirahs. He recounted how a year ago, someone gave him an almirah for repair. When he opened it, he found three of your books. He started reading them and was moved by your presentation. He eventually came in touch with devotees, and he is now a good devotee. He and his wife and his parents are all chanting 16 rounds. Srila Prabhupada, you are continuing to preach through your books. On February 26, 2019, Prime Minister Modi visited the Delhi temple for unveiling the astounding Bhagavad Gita. This astounding Gita was designed and produced under Marusevata Prabhu's supervision in Italy. This Gita is the largest religious book ever published. It has 670 pages, weighs 800 kilograms. It stands 2.8 meters high. A year ago, Krishna gave me the opportunity to get involved in this project. The Honorable Prime Minister garlanded your Murti on the stage. In his speech, he spoke highly of the Bhagavad Gita and your contribution of spreading Krishna's message, Lord Krishna's message. The Prime Minister said, all of you associated with ISKCON have dedicated full energy and creativity to develop this Gita. This Gita is a symbol of the devotion and dedication of the followers of Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. The Prime Minister stated that the Bhagavad Gita is India's most inspiring gift to the whole world. It is a wealth of the whole world. He further stated that you had completely dedicated your life to preaching the Gita, facing all kinds of challenges with an indomitable will. You started ISKCON in order to present Lord Krishna's message to the world. The Prime Minister performed aarti to the astounding Bhagavad Gita. He is very impressed to see the display of your Bhagavad Gita as it is in 44 different languages. All the major news channels in India broadcast this event live at prime time, allowing millions of people to witness this historic event. The media reported to our communication director, Yudhishthir Govindadas, that the event was an outstanding media success. Millions had your darshan on television and saw the astounding Bhagavad Gita. Many senior ISKCON devotees were present for this auspicious occasion. With the passage of each day, I have become more and more convinced that your movement is the only hope for humanity. Just as Lord Chaitanya converted tigers, snakes, and deer into devotees, you have converted millions of animal-like human beings to take to the path of pure devotional service. I pray for your causeless mercy so that I can follow your instructions and inspire book production and distribution. You also wanted us to build temples to spread the Lord's message. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you call these temples spiritual hospitals. I pray that with your blessings, I may be able to complete the projects we have started. Your fallen servant, Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So we ask Prasanatma Prabhu, then His Holiness Vrindavan Chandra Maharaj.
Namo Mishtabhadaya Krishna Bhashtaya Bodhale Srimadhe Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschade Shetata. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So this is a beautiful day, appearance day of Srila Prabhupada. I was one of the few fortune to be here to celebrate Prabhupada's appearance day just after we opened the temple. And there's a lot of memory is coming into my head. One of them was Prabhupada invited a lot of local Goswamis to come and have a prasadam. So we had probably about 30 or 40 at that time, because we just opened the temple. The population in Vrindavan in those days, it's very small. We don't have road. We just started to have a rickshaw those days. We didn't even have a rickshaw. We only have tanga. So anyway, all the Goswamis were taking prasadam and locals, and people were giving 5 rupees, 1 rupee, sometime even 50 paisas. And end of the day, Prabhupada took all the money, he counted, put it in his bead bag,
and went back to his room. So it was very interesting to watch that Srila Prabhupada is such a crorepati that still counting 1 rupee and 5 rupees and maintain proper account and print many, many books for us. And also I was thinking Panchakauda maybe asked me to speak since I really shy, not so much speaking ability. I was looking the word what to say. Then the word inconvenience coming to my mind. And everything is inconvenience for us to get up in the morning. When you become old, difficult to eat, difficult to sleep, and there's lots of excuses and inconvenience for us to perform devotional service. And again, I had a fortune of visiting one of the places Srila Prabhupada stayed before he went to America. So Prabhupada, before he went to America, he was waiting for the ticket passage to go to Boston. So while he was waiting, he was staying in one of our life members' house. Of course, that time he was not a life member. He was working for Scindia Shipping Company. That's the company owned by Sumati Muraji. So he was staying in Scindia Colony in Andheri, which is close to Jugu, where our temple is now. So he gave me, Nagaraj, life member, he gave me harmonium and described me the place where Srila Prabhupada stayed in his place. So I went there to saw what was it like. So if you see that place, we will shut up and stop complaining about our privilege we have from Srila Prabhupada. He stayed in the place under the staircase. It's not even inside the room. Under the staircase, he was staying, sleeping in the night, sometime playing harmonium and kirtan and bhajan. So we all have now cars, and car needs air condition, need drivers, and so many facilities. It's okay to have that, to preach Krishna conscious, nothing wrong with it, but we should always remember how much inconvenience Srila Prabhupada went through for us. He stayed in Radha Damodar temple for many, many years. He was very happy. He could have just stayed, but he left for us. He built so many temples. He gave us so much knowledge. He gave us so much prasadam. We still complain that it's not enough for us. So this is a good day to remember, and every day to remember, how Srila Prabhupada went through difficulties to get the land, to fight for the land, go to the court, maintain spiritual life, get up 2 o'clock in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, and translate so many books. So it's not just simple austerity he was performing to become liberated or anything like that. He simply fulfilled his spiritual master promise that he would go one day to preach every town and village. So this auspicious day, I pray myself that as the song goes, Chakudana Tilajay Janume Janume Prabhu Se. So we simply want to be servant life after life. We're not interested to become great yogi or become great devotee or go back to Godhead. We simply want to pray to serve Srila Prabhupada life after life. And this wonderful occasion, I also had the privilege to serve my good wife Parvati as she just left a few months ago. Until her last breath, she was fighting to have a Prabhupada museum built, and hopefully someday I will continue to help the temple to build nice museum for Srila Prabhupada. So Krishna consciousness is wonderful and is very joyful. We can perform joyfully. That's why Prabhupada gave my name Prasannatma. So it's very nice to be here after 45 years or whatever the years was, years going fast, still able to come here and have darshan of Krishna Balaram, Radha Samsundar, and serve all the devotees. And nice to see how the devotees, the temple is flourishing. And when the temple is flourishing, we always have to remember what Srila Prabhupada want for this temple. And I remember when first he came after build the temple, Gopakrishna Maharaj was taking him around to show different new thing like book table and stuff, and he saw there was a nest about the book table, and Prabhupada said that is eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So he was very particular about every little details that to be make the best possible for Krishna. Sometimes we left out and think, oh, that's okay, this is Vrindavan, that's all we can do. No, we have to change our culture, not thinking that this is all we can do. We can do more and better, and all cooperate together and serve Krishna consciousness nicely. Hare Krishna.
Namo Yom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Destarine. Generally, I am speaking Hindi, and for me it is difficult to express me in English, and it will be more difficult to catch you my expression. But anyway, I am grateful to Srila Prabhupada. He gave darshan to me. Actually, it was June 1927, became for the darshan of Srila Prabhupada, and it was only opportunity to have darshan when he was coming to see Krishna Balaram. For 3-4 days we had darshan, and I experienced many strange things in Srila Prabhupada. First thing, as his name is long, his body was not so long. And actually Prabhupada is coming to see Krishna Balaram, but we were here to see Prabhupada. So most of time when he is present, we were seeing Srila Prabhupada, his foot were swollen, and his hand were also swollen, but the upper part of hand was very thin. And the most curious thing for me was, why Srila Prabhupada is seeing so long Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram? I was not able to get explanation why he is seeing for so long. But we had the picture of his eye and seeing on his eye, we had the experience that his heart is being expressed through his eye. And that time, I was not able to get interpretation, have interpretation, but later on, I got interpretation, seeing his eyes, that it is out of attachment and love. So, on this occasion of Vyasa Puja, I will pray in the feet of Srila Prabhupada to impart a little part of his attachment and love to Krishna Balaram. Hare Krishna.
Maun Vishnu Padaya Krishna Staya Buddhala Shanti Bhakti Vrana Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deva Vrana Shani Nirvishesha Shunya Vrata Krishna Swami Vrishthana Vanchakala Padri Vrishya Kudasana Vrata Vrishthana Vrata 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 Vrata.
Forgive me in advance because I have advanced Parkinson's and I can't speak very loud, but Prabhupada said impossible is a word and fool's a dictionary. One thing I can be thankful for my Maya philosophy is that it protected me from going to Vietnam, and I didn't join the U.S. military. But then, shortly thereafter, I joined ISKCON in July 1972, and it was like the 82nd Airborne. I had just been a devotee for 2 hours, and we were out in Sankirtan. And then on the third day, we were out distributing books and selling tickets to Prabhupada's two public lectures, one in Berkeley and one in San Francisco. In the Berkeley lecture, there was a fanatical Christian who was really giving Prabhupada a very hard time, and there were these two very Kshatriya-like devotees, Buddhimanta and Keshava, that they were very, very ferocious personalities. And I felt that if this Christian said one more word, they were going to just kill him. And Prabhupada said, he drowned out the Christian with, said, let's have a heart, chant Hare Krishna. And he drowned out the Christian. The Christians seemed to be softer now than they were back then. But back then they were very ferocious. And then the next day in San Francisco, there was a public lecture in San Francisco. And there was one man who was challenging Srila Prabhupada. But it wasn't as challenging because he was a Baha'i. And Baha'is are generally soft. So I gather from this that I saw Prabhupada as a frontline preacher. He wasn't just telling us to preach, he was doing it himself. In 1975, in Hyderabad, I don't speak Telugu or Hindi, but Prabhupada was giving a lecture at a big pandal, and I was trying to distribute books at the book table, and I could see that some of the people were speaking to him in harsh tones. I didn't know what they were saying, but you can tell when some person is speaking harshly. And I gathered from this also that Prabhupada wanted us to be on the front lines, not just only like he being in the background, but he wanted us to go out also. When Prabhupada came to when he came to San Francisco in 72, Bhutatma, the temple president, arranged for him to be picked up in a Mercedes, and some of the media in San Francisco was very critical of this. Why is a Swami driving a Mercedes? And then Prabhupada said, Arjuna had a golden chariot, so this is not even up to standard. And when the devotees were going to greet Prabhupada at the airport in 1972, everyone was go told to go meet him at the airport. I stayed back, and I was cleaning the temple frantically. And it was a large building. And then I realized I was alone with... I'd only been devoted for about 2 months. And I realized I was alone with all the burfi and sweet rice and sandesh. And I started eating like crazy, honoring. And then I realized I should be cleaning the temple. So I was sweeping very frantically, and I was sweeping the temple president's office, Patatma, and Prabhupada walked in. I was expecting him to levitate in because all the books I had read about Indian sadhus, and I saw his feet were on the ground, and he was walking in, and I had to make an instantaneous decision. I was blocking his path. So I had to decide whether I pay my obeisances to him immediately and or get away and let him walk and then pay my obeisances later. So I got out of his way and let him walk. And then in 74, when Prabhupada came to San Francisco, actually there's a story behind the trip to 74. There was intense rivalry between San Francisco and LA temples, and Prabhupada said he would go to whatever temple distributed most books. And it seemed materially impossible for San Francisco to beat L.A. because they had more devotees, and they had Janaka Rishi and Mula Prakriti and Goparendapal and so many big distributors. But so the temple president of San Francisco decided to cheat. The contest was who distributed the most books on Fridays and Saturday. And so Bhaktidas, being the clever businessman that he is, he had us just collect money on all the other days. And then Friday and Saturday, we distributed books like crazy. And then we defeated L.A. and probably came to San Francisco. And when Prabhupada came to the San Francisco temple, Prabhupada appreciated it very much, but when he came to the book godown was very, very clean. And Prabhupada hugged Bhaktidas for keeping his book room clean. And my mother, my birth mother, was very clean. She tried to be clean, but when I met Prabhupada, he was transcendentally clean. And he was effortlessly clean. He didn't seem like he was making an effort to be clean. My mother had to struggle to be clean, but Prabhupada was just spontaneously clean. He was like a transcendental person. I've noted over the years that Americans, they may not be clean themselves, but they appreciate cleanliness. The police, if you ever have the misfortune of meeting them, they always have clean squad cars, clean uniforms. People respect cleanliness. Dirtiness is considered low. And so ISKCON has, in Vrindavan and throughout India and throughout the world, has a much higher standard of cleanliness. And this is a very important element. Also, Prabhupada gave tremendous emphasis on book distribution. He told us to double book distribution every year. And some of the things which this entails is not just the book distribution itself, as far as I'm concerned, but what does it require to distribute books? Grutama told me in the San Francisco, in the JFK airport in New York City about 40 years ago, that he goes out on Sankirtan to pray because it seems materially impossible to distribute books. So he goes to pray. And so this order of distributing books has greatly encouraged us to pray. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Uddhava is instructed by Krishna, and Krishna gives many instructions. Some of them seem very impossible, but then he gives the final instruction, is to meditate on me in everyone's heart. And this is the highest path of spiritual enlightenment. And that is what book distribution is all about, worshiping Krishna in everyone's heart, praying, Kridagama told me in 1973, we had just come back from the wharf distributing books, and he said that the japa after book distribution is always the best japa, because it you become so purified by this. And Triparari Swami told me back so many moons ago that the greatest prayer for distributing books is the Hare Krishna mantra. And also, it's interesting. Then in 1975, I went to the Mayapur Vrindavan Hyderabad Festival, and the temple president only allowed me to have $20, two dhotis, and a kurta. So what happened was one of my dhotis got stolen, and then the second dhoti got stolen. I had no dhoti. I had a gumsha. So I was going in front of Prabhupada wearing a gumsha. And also, on top of that, I had very severe arthritis, which went away, but I was crippled. I couldn't pay my respects to Prabhupada properly. And within Vaisheshika, he gave me a lungi, and then I was walking around like a sannyasi in 1975. I was on the 48-hour train ride from Calcutta to Hyderabad, and we got out and distributed books at every stop. Hans Duda led the kirtan, and we distributed books. And then when we got to Hyderabad, we greeted Prabhupada at the airport, and then we went to Vrindavan, and it was interesting because I was Prabhupada not only told us to worship deities, but he did it himself. I was at the first Krishna Balaram Arti, and I saw Prabhupada perform Arti to Krishna Balaram, and it inspired me that we should also do puja, not just the gurus telling us to do it. And and also in 1975, when Yogi Bhajan came to the Berkeley Temple, there was a famous talk Prabhupada had with Yogi Bhajan. And to get to Prabhupada's room in the Berkeley Temple, you had to go through the temple room. And Yogi Bhajan walked in to see Prabhupada just when the deity doors were opening or closing. And everyone paid pranam. They were offering pranam to Lord Jagannath. But everyone thought they were offering pranam. Yogi Bhajan thought they were offering pranam to him, but actually they were offering their respects to Lord Jagannath. And in 1975, when Prabhupada came to the Mayapur festival, it was on Ekadashi. We were all fasting, and I felt very weak, and we were told Prabhupada was coming, but we didn't know when. And so the different kirtan leaders were performing kirtan. It seemed like it went on for hours and hours and hours. I left the kirtan. I went into Prabhupada's bhajan kutir. It wasn't established as the bhajan kutir then. It was just a building. And I took rest, and then I went back, and Hansa Duda was leading the kirtan, and he was totally drenched in perspiration. And then finally Prabhupada arrived, and Vishnujan Swami jumped out, and he led the kirtan. And then we greeted Radha Madhava, and one of the big highlights was the ringing of the bell. I would try to grab the rope and give the rope to Prabhupada, and several times I was able to do that. There was always a competition, there also was, when Prabhupada was coming back from the morning walk, we didn't know which direction he was coming from, so Budhimata was like a guard, And he would say, he's coming this way, or he's coming this way, or this way. And then all the devotees would run in the direction where he was coming from. Haribol.
Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadaliya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Dharabhaktaya Namo Namaha Amajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yanam Dasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sumad Bhaktivedanta Samaditya Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nera Vishesha Sundavari Vashchada Desha Tarine. So we are most fortunate to be here in Srivindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada 1975 established the most beautiful, most wonderful temple, which is Gonita Krishna Bhamarada Shama Sundar. And so we are blessed that we are able to serve the deities since many years, and that is solely by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. That first of all we came here, that we are able to stay here, and hopefully we can stay for many more years and serve the deities under Srila Prabhupada's guidance by his mercy only. So always we have to remember the mercy of the Spiritual Master, but especially Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder of Acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And so he has given the chanting of the holy names, which is the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, which is the most important limb of devotional service for attaining perfection of realizing Krishna Sarup and our own Sarup as the eternal servant of Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada, he has given us so Dham Vas, residing in the holy place. Only by the mercy of the Spiritual Master we are able to stay in holy Dham, and the holy Dham is revealed to us. And then the third thing, so these are Panchamahatvapurna Ang, the five most important limbs of devotional service, which Srila Prabhupada has given, being empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the previous Acharyas. And then the daily hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada instructed, because that is the third limb, the Bhagavatam Shravan, Vaishnav Sangh. So in the association of the Vaishnavas, which is the fourth limb, we have a very important limb, Prabhupada has given the opportunity by opening this beautiful temple that we can chant the holy names, and we can hear the Bhagavatam, we can serve the deities this way, very nicely residing in the holy Dham amidst so many Vaishnavas, wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and all those who have come in contact in ISKCON. And we should not only be very much thankful to Prabhupada, and we should try to also serve Prabhupada under the guidance of the Spiritual Master, the authorities, but we can also actually have a direct relationship with Srila Prabhupada by serving his deity form, that is Vapu Seva, is present, and also of course by doing Vani Seva, following his instructions. And basically all the devotees in ISKCON, they are following the instructions of Sri Prabhupada, which are the instructions actually of Rupa Goswami, because we are known as Rupanuga Vaishnavas, who is the most intimate disciple, follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So by serving Sri Prabhupada, we are in contact with all the previous Acharyas, Sri Rupa Goswami, and we get all their mercy, and then we can properly serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sisi Krishna Balaram and Sisi Radha Shama Sundar. So the glories of the pure devotees, they are practically, we can say, unlimited. But we try our best to offer our obeisances to him, to glorify him to some little extent, although to fully describe his wonderful wonderful glories is practically not possible. Just like even Haridas Thakur's glories, they were described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is the Supreme Lord, and he himself was expressing that it is almost not possible to describe the unlimited glories of the pure devotees. who are the representatives of Krishna, Krishna Kripa Srimurti. Srila Prabhupada is a representative of Krishna himself, Swayam Bhagavan. He's the representative of Balaram, Adiguru, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu. And for those who are more advanced, then ultimately the representative of Srimati Radharani. So we understand the Spiritual Master is there in his Acharya Sarup, Srila Prabhupada, and he's there in Gaur Lila. Mahaprabhu Kirtana and Rita Gita always serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It doesn't mean he came here, he was not there. He's always there serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's always serving Nikunja Yuno Radhikeli Siddhai Yayali Bhir Yuktira Pekshaniya. He's always serving the divine couple in the highest ras, the Adiras, the Gopi Bhav. And this Swarup, of course, some may say that maybe in Sakabhav, maybe there he may have two forms, just like Pandavarjun. He's a gopi in Krishna Lila and he's a gopi in Krishna Lila also, and he's there in Gaur Lila. So that may be possible. But the point is also that Srila Prabhupada, he's the pure devotee of the highest order, very confidential associate of Mahaprabhu and Krishna, of Rupa Goswami, who are known as Rupa Gunuga Vaishnavas. So serving Rupa Goswami and then serving Rupa Manjari. And he can get all bhavs which are there. It's like a desire tree. Just like Madhavendra Puri, it is known that it is actually a kalpa vriksha tree in Braj. And he can give the five rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya ras. So Srila Prabhupada is the pure devotee of the highest order who can give the pure devotional service to the disciples who are strictly following him by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He Guru Gyanadadina Bandho Sananda Datta Kirinagaika Sindhu Vrindavan Hasyanavatara Prasida Radha Praya Prachara. The spiritual master is the friend of the soul, the fallen souls, Dinabandhu, just like Krishna. The Guru is addressed as Dinabandhu. Sananda Datta is giving his own bliss, the Paramananda, in relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. And he has come to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. Radha, Mahima, Pracharaha, Pranaya. And he is also, as Mahaprabhu came to give Braj Bhakti, so Sri Srila Prabhupada came to give Braj Bhakti and glorifying especially the divine couple and then the glories of ultimately Srimati Radharani Radha Samukha Samsaktim Sakhi Sangrivasanim Tamaham Saranamade Madhava Shrigraham. He is fully absorbed in the service of the divine couple. Nama Shishtam Manam Abhyache Nama Shishtam Manam Abhishachi Putra Matras Rupam Rupam Dasyagaranam Urupani Maturim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girevaram Radhika Madhava Samprapto Yasit Paprika Kripa Sigram Tandro Svi. So we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, the most merciful Acharya, who has given us the divine gift of serving Sisi Gonitai Krishnavam Radha Shama Sundar, and even he has revealed the holy Dham, Govardhan, Radhakund, Shamakund, and the glories of the holy names, the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to my deepest thanks to Panchagaur Prabhu, Dharmatma Prabhu, Janardhan Maharaj, Pravodanand Maharaj, Nilavada Prabhu and Mukundan Prabhu also. He used to come to ISB. Thanks all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis for allowing me to speak today. And I am from ISKCON of Silicon Valley, California, where my spiritual teacher, His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu and Nirukla Mataji, Akrunath Prabhu, Jagrani Mataji, those who have been there, and Prabhupada disciples, helping us, guiding us to expand this movement of the Sankirtan movement. And especially we have been busy in distributing Srila Prabhupada books profusely. We start with the small books and it goes until Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm visiting, my family is there, Ananda Brindavan, my wife, my two sons, Abhay and Balaram. So I just like to share few of my personal realizations with His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So when I first joined this movement in 97 in Delhi, and that time, you know, initial days, how it goes, everything we people call us a fanatic, because what we see and what we do is we try to see everywhere Krishna or try to see everywhere Prabhupada.
But I was working in Software Technology Park in Delhi. Those who know, who came from Delhi, know Modi Mill. You know Modi Mill, not the Prime Minister Modi, but there is a Modi Mill near the temple of East of Kailas. So I used to work there in the technology park. And one day I was walking from my company. My home is nearby because I used to go to temple visit every day in the evening. And I used to lead the ISKCON Youth Forum for 2 years. So when I was coming from my work, and on the street, which is written right, the mark, and don't know, it was kind of a dust accumulated. So I striked a little bit my hand dust there, and I saw it says Bhaktivedanta. So I was so, I mean, I thought it, I'm dreaming, or you know, in just middle of the road in a Delhi, and you see, and when I really little bit wipe the dust, I saw it's AC Bhaktivedanta mark, which was so amazing that that road was dedicated to Prabhupada, and I didn't know almost a year, and it was not so mentioned. So I was so thankful. And not only that, my second son, his name was also Abhay Charan, and he was born on November 13th, 2007, and Prabhupada disappeared on November 14, 1977. So it was the exactly same day in USA, and the same day, same tithi, which appeared, and I called my spiritual master, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, that Maharaj, we got a second son, and please give a blessing. So Maharaj said, is everybody chanting, glorifying Prabhupada's name? And that day Maharaj was also here on Prabhupada's disappearance day in Vrindavan, and he said, why don't you give the name Prabhupada? Well, I said, Prabhupada, people will be very ashamed to ask, you know, Prabhupada, how call someone a little boy. Then Maharaj realized, okay, no, 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 don't say Prabhupada, give Abhay Charan. Then I gave the name Abhay Charan. And the temple which I came, you know, first temple Prabhupada built, it is not in Newark. Newark was the temple, but the deity, the actual deity was installed in San Francisco, which is Jagannath. And the first time it was there in the Frederick and Stanion Street, those who are, I think, Vijitatma Prabhu, he's from San Francisco, he spoke a lot. So the Frederick Street and Stanion Street, there is a Mataji, Prabhupada disciple called Dhanishta Mataji. One day, like last 2 years ago, someone called, we are trying to visit, and she said that I am staying in 72, I forgot the actual the number, Frederick Street, where actually Prabhupada stayed in that home, in that house. And the, next to that temple, there are many devotees, the first, second level devotees who got initiation. There was initiation in that one, and it is right now a laundry place, which is, we visited there. We pray our obeisances because Prabhupada's lotus feet is round. Many devotees got initiated where the real founding things happened. And one important thing I wanted to mention about San Francisco is Prabhupada started in Tompkins Square in Newark with Kartal. When he started, do you know when he started Mridanga? The first time Prabhupada played Mridanga is in San Francisco. That time in 1967, devotees were a little bit, you know, in a year almost, so they know what to do. So they ordered a clay Mridanga from Vrindavan, and it reached there exactly the time Prabhupada was there in San Francisco. And that day Prabhupada, everybody was thrilled that Prabhupada is going to start with Mridanga in the Kirtan there with the hippies. And if you have not visited, there is a place called Hippie Hill where Prabhupada first Rath Yatra, fortunately you don't know, the first Rath Yatra which started in 67, which coincided with the Jagannath Rath Yatra in Puri. That was the mercy of Jagannath, and you can't believe the Jagannath Rath Yatra when we start in San Francisco. And that was the lowest crime rate in the year. When Jagannath comes out, no kidding, Jagannath comes out, the mode of passions and ignorance really nullified a lot. The three card, but when the Prabhupada started, it was in the back of the truck. In the truck, it goes to the Frederick Street, that was the coincided with the Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra, and they travel around those Frederick Street, Stanion Street, and this popularly known as Haight Ashbury, which is mostly the hippies people. And now, fortunately, we are very happy that we are also starting our book distribution. Our Navin Nirad Prabhu, one of the stalwart book distributor, leading a team. We every day, almost every week, we distribute in the Haight Ashbury where Prabhupada is to walk. Prabhupada is to do the first Harinam and the devotees used to leave there, the first in the Mukund Prabhu and many other devotees who are there, they used to there, and we are doing our expanding our book distribution in Haight Ashbury area. And not the less, the last one which I would like to share, the 108 temple which Prabhupada starts with Jagannath Dham in San Francisco, and that ended in 108 temple is in Puri, sorry, not in Puri, Bhubaneswar, which is also Jagannath temple. So Prabhupada's mercy is unlimited, and I am the second generation's devotee, and I like to thank ISKCON Vrindavan temple for allowing me a few minutes to speak and share about my realization. Mancha kalpatarubhyasya kripasindhubhyavacha patitanam bhavinabhyo vaishnavyo namo. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This wonderful Prabhu, and I'm so thankful for being in the association here of such wonderful devotees, steadily devoted souls, and Pancha Gota Prabhu is doing such a wonderful job here in Vrindavan, and I see so much enlivened kirtans, like Indra's mood is being carried on, and it's just ecstatic. And the world will take notice, like Srila Prabhupada says, that our debt to the spiritual master can never be repaid. But he said, if you preach vigorously like I am doing, then that will satisfy me in the most dearest way. And just like Bhakti Siddhanta said, please, if you ever get money, print books and distribute this knowledge. And he picked Srila Prabhupada for that person to go to the Western speaking, English speaking countries. And as this Prabhu was saying about Lord Jagannath, Srila Prabhupada brought Lord Jagannath from his childhood. He had been worshipping and taking Lord Jagannath and doing little Ratha Yatras with his friends. So his pure devotion he had brought to America, and in San Francisco I had the good fortune of serving Lord Jagannath. We would come down from Portland, Oregon. That's where I had joined. And 1974, Dina Bandhu was president of Portland. And he was as jovial and fun to be with as he is now. Always telling wonderful stories and being so friendly with the devotees. And he would like pick out little, like nicknames for certain devotees. It was just wonderful. He was the right person for my heart, So when Prabhupada, we heard Ratha Yatra's coming, San Francisco, all the Portland devotees would hop in our van, because we were doing Sankirtan, so five of us brahmacharis would just head down to San Francisco. And when you get there, there's hundreds of devotees doing service, and you're wondering, please Krishna, help me. What can I do, So first you're cooking 500 pounds of potatoes, helping cut up potatoes in this big pot they had called Bhima. And that was like so exciting. And then I see one devotee, very tall, and he's going, are there any artists? And I said, Prabhu, I know. And it was Jayananda. And Jayananda gave me the first service of painting the canvas cart, we'd go out to the site and I would paint the swans on there, and the fence and around the wheels, and it was so wonderful. And I would spend all day with Jayananda, and that was like completely ecstatic. I even had one Mangal Arati, because he had been up all night, and we were starting in the early morning, the carts were going to roll, like at 5 a.m. So we had been working till 12, and then we took rest on the cart. So I'm in Lord Balaram's canopy, resting in my sleeping bag. And then I hear 2 a.m., Haribol, Haribol, Prabhu. It's like, how did he know where I was, So Jayananda says, can you help me? And I said, sure. I come out, and he had gone back to the temple and cooked a big pot of hot milk and hot halava. And he wanted to give that to all the devotees because he knew they needed energy, because we're rolling out for Rath Yatra now at 5 a.m. So we served out all this halava and all this hot milk. Instead of sleeping, I thought, wow, he's unstoppable. His energy for Lord Jagannath and Srila Prabhupada was like phenomenal. It's hard to express in words. To see, that's why we wait to get back to Krishna, because we will join all these beautiful, wonderful, ecstatic souls that are totally absorbed in serving with love and devotion, you know. So after this, he says, Prabhu, can you come back with me? I have to take the pots back to the San Francisco temple, the old one. It was on Valencia, but we were like had the Rath Yatra cart near Golden Gate Park, you know, in some little site like that. And so we went back, and then at that time he's looking, oh, it's 4:30, it's Mangal Arati time, but I don't want to go in, because he had his street clothes on. He was always in this jacket. If you see the jacket, you'll see it in Mayapur and where Lord Jagannath is. Yeah, Simanta Dweep. Yeah, you will see his little bhajan, the samadhi, and there's his jacket. He would wear it inside out so he wouldn't get it dirty. And then when it's time for Rath Yatra, he would flip it so it's outside, you know, it's clean. So we had a Mangal Arati together, and it was just beautiful. By the end, he's just chanting Jai Prabhupada, and he's jumping at least 3 feet off the ground. It was just like very ecstatic. Then we go back to the site, and then we roll. And in the early morning, we just had a soft kirtan, and the people are looking, and it's like they know us already, because he's been doing this every year. And they're excited to look out the window that early and see, oh, there's those Hare Krishna's devotees, and we're softly doing. Then we get to the site, and Srila Prabhupada, when he finally comes, he's in that white sweater, you know, with the big rose garland that you see where his hands are raised. Yes, this was my second Rath Yatra, because 74 he just had the yellow cap on, and it was colder, and the sky was a little more, you know, darkened. So 75 was like my second time, and I had gotten the same service again, guarding the left front wheel of Lady Subhadra's cart. Someone handed me, I don't know if it was Jayananda or another Prabhu, says, here, you could guard. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing, because I was praying for some really good service, and Srila Prabhupada sat right underneath Lady Subhadra. So I kept my eyes on him almost all the time. You know, I'd make sure people weren't getting near the wheel, but I would just be like observing Srila Prabhupada. When the cart would stop, he would sip water very gracefully and keep rolling, you know. So the mercy, as this Prabhu was saying, is bringing Lord Jagannath to the West, because Lord Jagannath is so merciful to the Malechas and the Yavanas, those who don't know about Vedic culture. In India, everyone's very fortunate. They have an idea. They have some knowledge that the Vedic culture is like this. So we come back now to India, and we're trying to keep the Indian culture alive by telling them, don't follow the West. Follow your culture. It's the most beautiful one that on the earth, on Bhumi Mandala. So this is Prabhupada's mercy, giving Lord Jagannath, giving his books, preaching vigorously. I would have never been a devotee if I didn't run into that Bhagavad Gita at the store where I was buying incense, spiritual sky incense. So by his books, he transforms the heart and then gives the knowledge by which you have the strength to surrender to Krishna and the devotion. So we're very indebted to Srila Prabhupada. So we should try our best to share Krishna consciousness with others, and by doing so, we will benefit. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, Please accept my most humble obeisances. The anniversary of your Vyasa Puja gives opportunity to reflect on the formulas you have so mercifully left us. Who can articulate better than you did? You said you can prove your love for me by how you all get along together. A real Vaishnava will never say that he is superior to anyone. He will say that he is the lowest of the living entities. If he says that he is superior, then actually he is not superior. Letter to Shukadev, December 28, 1974. He who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but he who is a devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. Similarly, Narottam Das Thakur, a great Vaishnava poet, wrote, "No one has ever become liberated without the association of devotees." This is from Finding Spiritual Friends by Satswarup Das Goswami. Sometimes there will be a little misunderstanding between God brothers. That is even going on amongst liberated souls. What is important is that everyone must engage in Krishna's service under the direction of the spiritual master. This is in Nellore, January 7, 1976. Simple for the simple, complicated for the complicated. My prayer to you, Srila Prabhupada, that I remain eternally indebted to my God siblings that have served you and continue to serve you with heart and soul. That you allow me to conscientiously serve our transcendental family members tirelessly as servant of the beloved servants of Krishna. Please empower me to chant the holy names of the Lord better and with more sincerity and focus than each day before. Whatever has been lent to me in this lifetime, I pray to utilize in your service with love and attention. I pray to always remember you and never to forget you. Begging to remain your eternal daughter, Vishalini Devi Dasi.